All right, ready to dive into something fascinating. Today, we're taking a deep dive into Paul Cézanne and his masterpiece, The Bathers.
Definitely a masterpiece and one with a story.
Yeah.
Cézanne worked on this painting for 7 years. And get this, it was still unfinished when he died.
7 years, wow. You know, that just makes you wonder, what was he striving for? What was going through his mind all those years? Especially since the version of the Bathers hanging in the Philadelphia Museum of Art is just one of many, right?
Exactly. It's part of a whole series he created, each one unique. You've got the Bathers at MoMA in New York, another at the National Gallery in London, even one at the Barnes Foundation in Pennsylvania. Plus, the Art Institute of Chicago has one. Each version, like a new chapter in his artistic journey.
That's what's so incredible about Cézanne. It's like he was intentionally going against the flow. You know, defying those traditional stuffy art conventions.
Totally. He wasn't interested in just replicating what he saw. Cézanne wanted to create something timeless, something that went beyond just the trends of the art world. It was more about capturing the essence of form, the weight, the volume of the human body, not just creating a picture-perfect copy.
And how did people react to that? That must have been a shock for some, seeing these, well, let's just say unconventional figures, especially in the nude.
Oh, definitely ruffled some feathers. Critics were all over the place. Some called it a, and I quote, warm evocation of leisurely summer bliss, praising its emotional impact. Others, well, they weren't so kind. They thought his figures, especially those female nudes, were, get this, ineptly drawn. Can you imagine calling Cézanne inept?
Ineptly drawn. Ouch. Sounds like those critics are missing the point, like completely.
It's easy to judge by the old standards, right? But Cézanne, he wasn't playing by those rules. This wasn't about, you know, technical perfection. It was about capturing something way deeper. Look at those so-called inept figures. See how he uses those bold brushstrokes, almost fragmented. And the way he uses color, it's not blended smoothly. It's layered, creating this depth, this incredible form. Honestly, it's like he's sculpting with paint.
Yeah, I see that. It's like he's not just painting what's in front of him, but what he feels about it, you know? Like those thick brushstrokes he uses in his landscapes and gives them this raw energy. You feel like you're right there in nature. And he brings that to the human form in the Bathers, too.
Absolutely. And even though he simplifies those figures, they still have so much weight, so much volume. He's not afraid to play with perspective, exaggerate proportions to get that effect. It's such a departure from those smooth, idealized nudes of the Renaissance, like those perfectly proportioned figures you see in Titian's work.
Right.
But you can still see that sense of like artistic lineage. There are echoes of those Renaissance masters, but also these hints of what's to come later in art history.
Exactly. You can see Rubens' influence in how Cézanne puts together his compositions, the way he arranges those figures to create that sense of movement and energy. But then he pushes it further, breaks those boundaries, paving the way for artists like Picasso and his Les Demoiselles d'Avignon. That painting, with its fragmented figures, distorted perspectives, it owes a lot to Cézanne's vision.
Wow, what a legacy. But speaking of the Bathers, this particular masterpiece ends up in Philadelphia. And it wasn't without a little drama, right? Tell us about how it landed at the Philadelphia Museum of Art.
Okay, so picture this. 1937. The art world is freaking out because this Philadelphia Museum of Art just shelled out a whopping $110,000 for a single painting, Cézanne's The Bathers. That was a fortune back then. A huge EE deal.
Yeah, that's a ton of money, especially back then. But it wasn't all, you know, champagne and celebrations, was it?
Not exactly. I mean, plenty of people applauded the purchase. But a local newspaper, the Philadelphia Record, decided to stir the pot a little. They published this pretty scathing piece questioning if, you know, spending that much on a painting was really the right move, especially when a lot of Philadelphians were struggling to get by. They even pointed out that something like 10% of the city didn't even have bathtubs in their homes at that time.
Yikes. That's gotta hurt. Talk about bad press. It's like, let them eat art.
Yeah, it definitely caused a stir. It brings up this question that's always around, you know, the role of art, of these cultural institutions in society. Should they be focusing on getting these amazing masterpieces, or should they be doing more to help people in their own communities?
Ray, it's a tough one. Is art a luxury? Or is it something essential, something that can really uplift people, even when times are hard?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And there's no simple answer. But you know what's interesting? The Bathers still gets people talking all these years later. Remember we were talking about how it was in that BBC series, 100 Great Paintings? That shows you this painting, it's not just some old relic from the past. It still grabs you. It makes you think about things, about the world around us.
It's like Cézanne's still stirring things up, even though he's gone. It makes you wonder, can art ever really be timeless like you wanted? Or do we always see it through the lens of our own time?
That's something to think about. We all bring our own experiences, our own views when we look at art, right?
Yeah.
But maybe that's part of why it's so powerful. It can reach across time, speak to different generations, but it also reflects the values, the worries of the time it was made.
So what does that mean for us as viewers, as we stand there looking at the Bathurst in all its glory? What are we supposed to take away from it?
It means we're not just looking at a picture. We're part of this conversation between the artist and the viewer, the past and the present. When you look at those figures, so full of mystery, remember, it's not just a painting. It's a piece of history, a puzzle to figure out, proof that art can move us, challenge us, maybe even change us.
I don't know about you, but I'm ready to hop on a plane to Philadelphia and see this thing with my own eyes. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today. Be sure to join us next time for more explorations of art, history, and beyond.